The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Jesus told his parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
O Lord, may your word only be spoken, and may your word only be heard. In the name of Jesus Christ, the living word. Amen. Some of you may have heard of the writer Annie Lamott. If you haven't, I would suggest that you go out and take something out of the library by her and give it a read. She has a wonderful sense of humor about herself and about her life of faith, about the life of faith, and a terrific gift for capturing the irony and wonder of human life. And one of the things that she wrote that struck me a while ago when I first read it is the idea that all prayer can be reduced to two kinds. Help me, help me, help me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's it. And when you think about it, what else is there really? Think about what we teach our children, how important please and thank you are. Please and thank you pretty much cover every conceivable human interaction. If you've got those bases covered, you've pretty much got them covered. So why wouldn't it be that way with God? Please and thank you. You probably remember that last week's gospel was about prayer. Jesus commends to us the prayer of the persistent widow. And this week, prayer again figures prominently in the gospel. One preacher puts it like this, these 2 weeks that we have back to back. He says, last week we were presented with the promise of persistent prayer. And this week we are presented with the perils of presumptuous prayer. It occurred to me as I was looking at this passage that what we're presented with here in the Pharisee and the tax collector is a variation of these two types of prayer, but with the difference. They both show us these two types. They both show us the danger, the potential for distortion because of presumptuousness that each of these two types of prayer represent. Presumptuousness. The Pharisee. Let's start with the Pharisee. He certainly is thankful, isn't he? But his gratitude is meant mostly for himself. And it comes at the expense of and with contempt for those who fall short of his very exacting standards. Not much room for God or anyone else in his gratitude, except for those against whom and over against whom he defines himself. You know, the rogues, the tax collectors and adulterers and so forth. Now, most of us have been guilty at one time or another, we have to admit, I think, guilty of resting our gratitude to God on the back of someone else's misfortune. Most of us have probably said one time or another, there but for the grace of God go I, It's at the expense of somebody else. Or we may be guilty of thinking that we have earned our success chiefly by our own talents and accomplishments, without the assistance of others or God. I'm reminded of a rather uncharitable observation made of one of our recent presidents. And that's what that's this. He was born on third base, but grew up thinking he'd hit a triple. The fact is, most of us, at one time or another, are likely to think that we alone are solely responsible by dint of our superior talent and virtue for all that we've gotten, and we're likely to feel smug, perhaps a little superior, to those around us. So, presumptuous thank yous. I think we also have the presumptuous help me. The tax collector. He certainly is asking for help. And asking for mercy is asking for the most basic kind of help. Permission to exist in a state of safety and acceptance. But his presumption may be of a different kind, or it points dangerously in a different direction, and that's that of self-negating shame. This is not a sustainable model for prayer, even for prayers of help me. A clear-eyed assessment of one's weaknesses is one thing, but going through life with a view of oneself that is seeing only the weakness, only the brokenness, this denies the spark of divinity that lies deep within us. And it presumes, I think, the worst of God, that God would look at us primarily as broken. No doubt most of us have spent time in this kind of prayer as well. In fact, for a goodly number here, the phrase, "there is no health in us," may ring some bells. For those of us of a slightly later generation, it comes from the general confession in morning and evening prayer in the 1928 prayer book. I know there are those who miss that phrase, which was excised from the 79 general confession. For those of us who miss that phrase, it's a bracing and welcome reminder of our finitude. But to remain there is presumptuous. To remain primarily in a posture of abject inadequacy, denying the image of God imprinted in us, is also presumptuous. It presumes that God would make junk. God doesn't make junk. So both prayers, I would say, are presumptuous in their way, or dangerously lean toward presumptuousness. They both proceed from the idea that we know better than God, that we don't need God's help or anyone else's, or even more presumptuous, the help me prayer is based on the idea that we're beyond God's help somehow. Presumptuous pride is the enemy of prayer, but of course we know pride goes well beyond our life of prayer. It infects so much of our interaction with each other. There are many facets to pride, many, many facets, but the major one, I think, is that we think ourselves to be self-sufficiently right. We're just right. I came across a wonderful poem by an Israeli poet named Yehuda Amichi. I'd never heard of him before, but it's a remarkable poem, I think. His name is Yehuda Amichi. He's an Israeli poet. And it's a poem called "The Place Where We Are Right." And it begins like this. "From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled like a yard. looking at my yard. Hard and trampled. We think we have all we need to know about a particular situation, and we barricade ourselves in that knowledge, supposed knowledge. We have a superior vantage point that is not open for discussion. We often get stuck there. We just get stuck. And this is where I think we may need to go back to the tax collector. Because for all the dangers and risks of that kind of prayer and that kind of thinking and living in that kind of thinking, that kind of prayer, the tax collector knows. He just doesn't have all the answers. He knows he does not have a lock on the truth. He names himself a sinner, but really that just means someone who misses the mark. And he's just admitting that he needs help with his aim. And therefore, thereby, he opens the door from his side, not God's, from his side, to receive God's love and power. God's just waiting there. We have to open the door. Now, we don't think that we know everything that Jesus was trying to get across in this story. It's not possible to know everything Jesus was thinking. But I believe that among other things, Jesus was trying to induce people in this story to give up their pride in their prayer and in everything else, and thus give themselves a chance to receive the healing power of God. The poem that I started with ends like this. Remember, we just left the trampled yard. But doubts and loves dig up the ground like a mole, like a plow. And a whisper will be heard in the place where the ruined house once stood. A whisper where the ruined house once stood. A whisper, a voice, I would say, that we can hear. The voice of one who made us, who saves us, who sustains us. That whisper is even in the ruins of our lives. And even in the ruins of our lives, this whisper, this voice, can save us. Amen.